In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, Team Grace, for this Easter season, we're walking through the church's Liturgy of the Hours, which is the rhythmic praying of the Psalms and other prayers throughout the hours of the day. The Liturgy of the Hours is the universal prayer of the entire church. So when we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, we're praying the same prayers that the Pope prayed. We're saying the same prayers that our missionaries have prayed. We're praying the same prayers that those who will die that day as martyrs of our faith are praying. We can forget that the 20th and 21st century has had more martyrs than all previous centuries combined. When we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, we are united with all of our fellow believers in every country and place. All languages, tribes, peoples, and cultures are united in the Liturgy of the Hours. So in addition to this cycle of prayer being called the Liturgy of the Hours, it is also sometimes called the Divine Office. Now in this context, the Divine Office is a reference to our duty, not to a place of work. So we think of an office, I go to work to the office. But here, Divine Office is a reference to our duty. It shows that we are united with all Christians, both in our prayer and in our call, our duty to prayer. So we have a divine office, a divine responsibility to pray as Christians. Incidentally, when we speak about the divine office, it reminds me of the story some time ago when I was in vocations. I would drive around to the different parishes and promote vocations, encourage young men to go to the seminary, young women to the convent. And on one occasion, I went to a parish and I was supposed to meet with the pastor. And in that parish, the parish office is in one building. The pastor's office is in a different building, and then the rectory is a few miles away from the parish campus. So I went to the parish office, so I didn't know it was there. I had an appointment to see the priest. And they said, oh, he's over in his office. So I got in my car, drove over to the office. Then I got to his office, and he wasn't there. So I walked around, I'm like, where's he at? I thought I'd wait, maybe he was in the restroom. Nothing. I thought, where's he at? He knew I was coming. So I eventually called him, said, hey, where are you? He said, I'm at the rectory. I was like, oh, okay. I thought you were in your office. He said, why would I be in my office? I said, well, your secretary told me you were going to be in your office. There was a pause, and he started laughing. He said, no, I told her I was going to the rectory to pray my office. Right? So you hear the expression among priests and deacons, I'm going to go pray my office. It means they're going to go pray the Liturgy of the Hour. So he said he was going to pray, and she thought he was going to his office. So again, divine office, our call to prayer, our sacred duty to pray. So the prayer, again, is sometimes called the divine office because of this call to prayer. As we talk about the divine office or the Liturgy of the Hours, many of our older Catholics will remember when many Catholic parishes had Vespers on Saturday or Sunday evenings or on holy days. The Second Vatican Council actually affirmed this practice and called for it to be expanded. Listen to what the Council Fathers taught. Quote, pastors of souls should see to it that the principal hours, especially Vespers, are celebrated in common in church on Sundays and on the more solemn feasts. The laity, too, are to be encouraged to recite the divine office, either with the priests or among themselves, or even individually, unquote. Sadly, the call of the Second Vatican Council was not heeded, and in most places, even the praying of Vespers disappeared. Yes, in a peculiar move, the exact opposite of what the Second Vatican Council called for was done. And we've spoken about this many times, Team Grace. I've let you know that a lot of what you were told was Vatican II was a lie. It was an exaggeration. It was enemies within the church who used Vatican II to disguise their own ideology. And you were told all kinds of things that were Vatican II that just are not true. Only now are we beginning to really discover the authentic Vatican II. So here, Vatican II is saying, teach the faithful to pray the Liturgy of the Hours and have public Liturgy of the Hours, especially Vespers on Sundays and holy days. And what happened? It was not taught. And the few places where there was already Vespers, it disappeared. So again, we have a lot of work to do. And here at Our Lady of Grace, we want to remedy what has not happened. We want to heed the true call of Vatican II, and we want to start praying the Liturgy of the Hours as a parish and as a people. So let's go over some of the things we've learned so far. First, last week we talked about the Book of Psalms. And in particular, we spoke about why the Book of Psalms is the heart of the Liturgy of the Hours, that rhythmic praying throughout the day. And it's important that we grasp the Book of Psalms, that we understand it, the basic structure, the Psalms of Lament, the Psalms of Praise, so we can understand the heart of the Liturgy of the Hours, which again is the Book of Psalms. Also, it's important that we remind ourselves that there are 7 hours throughout the day. So every 3 hours, except midnight, the church is at prayer. So 7 hours, 7 times the church is praying. And again, just to clarify, that term hours here simply means a set time of prayer. Usually the hour is only 10 or 15 minutes. We can hear hour and think a whole hour. We're just referencing a set time of prayer. The hour, again, it's about 10 or 15 minutes. And there are 7 of them. I hope that fills you with great consolation to know that all throughout the day, the church is in prayer. See how committed the church is to prayer? In fact, you can go right over to Belmont Abbey and watch the monks and participate in the chanting of the monks as they pray for us every 3 hours, except midnight. And if you take the time change, the time zones throughout the world, it means the church is constantly in prayer and constantly covering humanity with prayers. And that should, again, great to fill us with great consolation and encouragement. The church is constantly praying for us and for the world. Now, of these 7 hours, it's important that we understand what are called the hinge hours. So just like a hinge on the door that opens and closes the door, the hinge hours of the Liturgy of the Hours open and close the day. The hinge hours are morning prayer and evening prayer. Morning prayer is traditionally called lauds. Not to tell you, the first time I heard lauds, I thought they were saying logs, like fallen trees. What is going on here? But it's lauds, L-A-U-D-S, lauds, like praise. All glory, loud, and honor, lauds. So we have lauds, which is morning prayer, and vespers, which is evening prayer. And these are the hinge hours. This is the core of the entire Liturgy of the Hours. And so although they are formally prayed around 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. by religious communities, they can be prayed anytime in the morning or evening, especially by those in the midst of the world with other duties in their state and life. So if you want to wake up and pray lauds at 6 a.m., go for it. But just realize that as members of the lay state in the midst of the world, you can pray at any time in the morning. So 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., breaking of the, what did they say, the 11 o'clock up until noon, right? So up until noon, you can pray any time, you know. So that's morning prayer, lauds. Evening prayer, you can pray evening prayer any time in the evening. So if 6 p.m. works, great, but it can be later. So again, there's flexibility for those of us who don't live in religious communities. While the hinge hours are the eventual goal in terms of praying the Liturgy of the Hours, that's what we want to go for. That's what all the baptized should be praying. While that's the eventual goal, it is sometimes recommended that the person who is new to Liturgy of the Hours should begin to pray night prayer, which is called Compline. This suggestion is made since Compline is the shortest of the hours. Depending on your examination of conscience, it can be 4 to 6 minutes. It is the shortest of the hours and the one with the least rotation of readings. So as an example, most older priests have the whole of Compline memorized. I'm not there yet, but they have it completely memorized. So as we get closer to Pentecost, I'll give more explanations on how we can best get started. As I mentioned last week, I know some of you are eager, and I'm receiving more emails. Some of you are eager to begin. And trust me, when we get to Pentecost, there's going to be ample opportunity for us to begin to practically pray the Liturgy of the Hours. But I want us to take a step by step by step. You know, in seminary and in diaconal formation, it takes about a semester to train a future priest or deacon how to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. So I'm trying to cut and paste the main parts through the Sundays of the Easter season to make sure we're ready. So that we begin to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, we know what we're doing. So while we have some zealous people among us, I'm going to ask you just wait a little bit more, and we get to Pentecost, we will all springboard together into the Liturgy of the Hours. So for now, I want you to just go ahead and begin to consider those seven hours and the 2 hinge hours of the Liturgy of the Hours. I want you to continue to get familiar with the Book of Psalms. I hope this past week you were able to open it up and begin to look at some of the Psalms and to ask, is this a psalm of lament or a psalm of praise? Maybe you looked at those beginning Psalms, Psalm 1 and 2, or perhaps the concluding Psalms, Psalm 146 to 150. The more familiar you are with the Book of Psalms, the easier the Liturgy of the Hours is going to be. So as we get closer over the next couple of weeks to Pentecost, I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into some of the mechanics and the practical aspects of the Liturgy of the Hours. But for now, those 7 hours, the Book of Psalms, the hinge hours of Lauds and Vespers, it's good for you to know those terms. This is our daily prayer as Catholic Christians. So if someone says Lauds, you should know what they're talking about, or Vespers. And again, to be aware of Compline, and why sometimes Compline is suggested as a good start, even though that should not be the only goal. We don't just want to pray Compline night prayer. We want to eventually get to all, to those hinge hours. Most Catholics who begin to be familiar with the Liturgy of the Hours, and they're very few, but that's about to change, right, Team Grace? Most Catholics who get familiar with the Liturgy of the Hours normally pray morning prayer, Lauds, evening prayer, Vespers, and night prayer, Compline. And that's where we're eventually going to work towards as a parish family. So we're getting there, step by step. And by the time Pentecost gets here, we'll be more than ready to engage and to be a part of the daily, ancient, and beautiful prayer of the Church throughout the day and throughout the world. And when we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, we know that we're united with all believers on earth, all the holy ones in heaven, and that we are praying the exact prayers that the Lord Jesus himself prayed to the Father during his public ministry. So step by step, we're going to get there. And when Pentecost comes, we'll be ready to start to pray the Liturgy of the Hours as a parish and as a people.